Tonight, we're going to be speaking on the opening of the seventh seal, which introduces the seven trumpets. And this is really going to continue in Revelation chapter 8 and chapter 9. Tonight, we're just going to deal with Revelation chapter 8, and we won't keep you too long tonight. So, Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. The seventh seal and the golden censer. I'm reading from the New International Version, but I'll also be referencing the King James Version as well. When he, that's the Lamb of God, opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel, who had a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Then the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was hurled down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, and a third of the living creatures of the sea died, and a third of ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that became bitter. The fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." Father, I just ask right now in Jesus' name that you and your kind love and grace to us would help us to receive from this message what it is that would be helpful to us and to our lives that we could apply to ourselves, that could challenge us, that could help us in our walk with you. So, Father, I just ask that you would give me utterance in the Holy Spirit tonight and help us understand these words and these judgments that surely come in upon the face of this earth. And we ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's begin tonight, Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. When he, that is the Lamb of God, opened the seventh seal, this is the last and final seal, but by opening this seal, it goes into the trumpets. So we've been looking at the six seals out of Revelation 6, and now we're over here in Revelation 8 with the last seal being opened. And when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. The opening of this seventh seal is a very important event because it's confirmed by the fact that there's silence in heaven for about a half an hour after it's opened. The contents of the seven trumpets are different from the seven seals that we've already looked at. The seventh seal is important because it actually includes all of the events that are about to happen here from Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1 all the way through Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Now verse 2, "And I," that is John, "saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." As John observed the heavenly scene, he wrote, and he said he saw seven angels to whom were given seven trumpets. He says here in Revelation 8:2, "And I, John, saw the seven angels who stand before God." These are seven chief angels who are continually before God in His presence. You know, if we draw on the apocryphal writings, we read in Tobit chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, "I am Raphael, one of the seven angels who stands in the glorious presence of the Lord, ready to serve Him." And we read also in our New Testament in Luke chapter 1 and verse 19, it states, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God." There seem to be seven chief angels that are continually before God. And this is the first time that they appear here in this book of Revelation. And as we go on, it says, "And to them," unto these seven angels, "were given seven trumpets." And these trumpets, when these trumpets blow their horn, so to speak, it's going to be severe judgment upon this earth. The biblical trumpet was something like it was a ram's horn, 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 34. Sometimes they would lead in battle by blowing the ram's horn. Or also in the Bible, there was a metal musical instrument that was a trumpet, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 2. And these trumpets were used mainly in war. When they're blown, they're going to go out into war, or for religious celebrations. Now, let's go to verse 3, Revelation 8:3. "Another angel who had a golden censer." Okay, what is a censer? A censer is a vessel that burns incense. It's really an incense burner. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a Catholic church or from a Catholic background, but if you've gone to some of the Catholic services, you know, the priest from time to time will have a service where he'll have this incense censer or burner, which he has incense in, and he will swing it back and forth, and smoke will rise up, representing prayers, the prayers of God's people. This is what we're seeing here. Revelation 8:3, "Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar," that is, in front of God's altar that was in heaven, "and he," the angel, "was given much incense." Most of you know what incense is, but it's actually a sweet-smelling herb of some kind that's, when it's burned, it produces a fragrant odor from its smoke that rises. And so this angel was given much incense to offer, the Bible says here, "with the prayers of all the saints." This is kind of a symbolic gesture that when this incense goes up, that with that incense, as it goes up and it comes before God, that it carries, so to speak, the prayers of the saints. And it says here, "the angel was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne," or the throne of God. "The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer," he took the incense burner, And he filled it with fire, the NIV says. Filled it with fire. These were probably hot coals that came off the altar. And he hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Now, it appears to me that this angel stood before God's altar in heaven with this fragrance of burned incense, which is mixed with the prayers of the saints. As it went up before God, it carried the prayers of the saints from the altar in the angel's hand. And as a result of these prayers, the angel, see what I'm trying to say here? As a result of those prayers of the saints, of all the saints coming before God, then God allowed this angel to fill this censer with hot coals from his altar and hurl it to the earth. When it was hurled to the earth, thrown upon the earth, then it burst out in loud noise, thunder, lightning, and earthquake. As I look at this and have thought about this today, I believe it's the prayers of the saints that resulted in the judgment of this loud noise, thunder, lightning, and earthquake upon the earth. And it reminded me of Acts chapter 9. And if you'd turn there with me in your Bible tonight, let me just read a few verses here in Acts chapter 9. This is talking about Saul before he was converted to Christ. And he was certainly a Jew of the Jews. He thought he was doing God a service by killing Christians. This is what it says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and ask him for letters to go to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, if he found anybody that was following Christ, followers of Christ, they called them in the early church the way, Christians, disciples, whether they be men or women, that he might take them, that Saul might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he came near Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' And Saul said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice came and said this, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" You know, who was Saul persecuting? You know, Jesus died on a cross. He was buried. He arose again. He was on the right hand of, seated on the right hand of God the Father in heaven. And Saul's busy going to Damascus and all over every area that he can with threats, murderous threats of murder and imprisonment of Christians, of followers of those of the way. Suddenly he's seized by the Lord Jesus Christ himself as Jesus revealed himself to him. And Saul says, "Who are you?" And Jesus said, "I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting." You know, who is he persecuting? He was persecuting the people of God. He was persecuting the people of God. And Jesus said, "When you persecute the people of God, you in fact are persecuting me." Now we see some things going on earth here in Revelation chapter 8. And what we see here is an angel that had a golden censer and it had incense in it, and it was full of the prayers of all the saints, it says, came before God. The smoke along with the prayers of the saints went before God. And then as a result of those prayers of all of God's people, the angel took the censer the incense burner, and filled it with hot coals from the altar in heaven, and hurled it to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. You know, it appears to me that this angel stood before God's altar in heaven with a incense burner mixed with, you know, incense and the prayers of the saints, and it went before God. And I believe this is what happened. As a result of this incense going before God, which symbolically represents, you know, the prayers of the saints, you know, being coming up before God, well, God, in answer to these prayers, it appears, told the angel, or allowed that angel, to fill his empty censer with hot coals from his altar in heaven and hurled it to the earth. As a result, there were noises, loud noises, thunder, lightning, and earthquakes. These prayers, I believe, of the saints resulted in the judgment of this loud noise, thunder, lightning, and earthquake. What are we saying? We're saying that God doesn't like his people to suffer. He doesn't like the threatening, the persecution, the martyrdom, the death that this world and the demonic forces of this world have hurled upon the people of God. And God is restraining himself in this day of grace, but there will be a day when he'll tell the angel, fill your censer with the hot coals of my altar and throw it upon the earth, because God takes it very personally when his people are persecuted or hurt or martyred. God will eventually avenge his elect. Now let's go to Revelation 8:6 and see what happens here. Then the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared to sound them. The first angel sounded his trumpet, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood. It was hurled down upon the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. When this first trumpet was sounded by this first angel here, the first angel sounded his trumpet, and there was hail and fire mixed with blood. It was hurled upon the earth, resulting in a third of the earth being burned up, including trees and all green grass. This devastating judgment, like the announcement of most of the trumpets, will primarily affect a third of the earth. Not all of the earth was affected, but the third of the earth was devastated by this judgment that was hurled upon the earth, affecting the land, the trees, the grass. A third of this earth was literally devastated. They talk about climate change. Well, God has a plan, and there will someday be a climate change, but it won't be because of the emissions from your car. It will be a result of men in their rebellion against God. And God isn't bringing these judgments as a, you know, because he doesn't like men. He's bringing it because he wants them to turn to him. He wants to get their attention. He wants them to look up. He wants them to cry for mercy, because he's a merciful God, ready to give mercy and to forgive. Revelation 8:8, the second angel sounded his trumpet, and something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea turned into blood, a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. As the second trumpet sounded, something like a huge mountain, all ablaze, on fire, was thrown into the sea. As a result of that, a third of the sea turned into blood, And this caused a third of the living creatures in the sea to die. You know, vegetation died. The animal creation died in the sea. The fishes died in the sea. And also, a third of the ships were destroyed. Those upon the water that had their ships, whether it be Navy ships or ships from all over the world, different countries, or fishermen when their ships, or people in their ships, whatever it was. It says a third of these ships were destroyed also, which meant that obviously a lot of people lost their lives as well. Obviously, the results of these judgments are literal. The sea turned to blood, probably from the devastation of death that was in the sea, that losing a third of its sea creatures, even mankind there, many people, came as a result of this blazing mountain that was cast into the sea. Since this seems to be literal, then it's reasonable to take these other judgments that follow also to be literal. Let's take the third judgment, the third angel here, Revelation 8:10. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. You know, just today in Flint, Michigan, you know, the government is upset with the governor there in Michigan because in this particular area of Michigan, they allowed polluted water with a lot of lead to come in, and it's come in for a long time, and they think it's going to damage many children. And they've, you know, proclaimed it's a disaster area and so on and so forth. The government's going to try to help, and it's just a devastating thing for children and probably women that are pregnant and everything else with this contamination of lead that's in the water. It's not going to be anything at all compared to this when this angel blows his trumpet and a great star blazing like a torch falls into the river and the springs of the water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. Wormwood means bitter. Okay? So this judgment follows a third, when that third trumpet was sounded. It's similar to the second judgment, but here the mass falling from heaven to earth was a great star blazing like a torch. This fell on the third of the rivers, but also on the springs of water. In other words, it wasn't just the waters of the ocean and the seas that are going to be contaminated. It's also going to be fresh water, waters of the rivers and waters of the springs. The star that fell was named Wormwood. And wormwood is a bitter desert plant. It's mentioned only here in the New Testament, but it's mentioned seven times in the Old Testament where it represents sorrow and bitter judgment. Deuteronomy 29:18, Proverbs 5:4, Jeremiah 9:15, Jeremiah 23:15, Lamentations 3:15-19, and Amos 5:7. The bitter water, the judgment that's going to bring about bitter water on this earth, is going to result in many, many people dying. So the third trumpet is another awesome judgment resulting in great loss of life. The fourth angel, Revelation 8:12, the fourth angel sounded his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars was struck. So a third of them were turned dark. A third of the day was without light, and also a third of the night. As this fourth trumpet sounded, the light of the sky was reduced by one third. Without a third of the sun, a third of the day was lacking normal light, a third of the night was without light from moon and stars. Again, the best interpretation would be literal. Just as the first three trumpets dealt with tragedy or judgment upon the earth, so the fourth trumpet will deal with a judgment upon the heavens. Those trumpets were against the earth, but this fourth trumpet is against the heavens. Verse 13. As I watched, John said, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out with a loud voice. Now, our King James Version says this, and I beheld, or I watched, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. The NIV has a translation here that an eagle was flying, and an eagle in midair called out in a voice. The King James Version, I guess you could say, disputes that by saying it was an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Now, you might say, well, why is there such a contrast and a difference between the NIV here and the King James Version? The answer is this. The King James Version and the New King James Version, Young's Literal Translation, the Geneva Bible, that was the Bible of the pilgrims that came over here to America, and many other early translations, were translated from a group of Greek texts known as the Western Text. It was also called the Majority Text, that had the majority of manuscripts from the New Testament. In the late 1800s, there was two manuscripts discovered. They call it the Eastern Manuscript Tradition. And many scholars or many people have said these are older, more accurate. The NIV decided to translate their translation from these particular manuscripts. And as a result, we find some discrepancy from time to time. Not major discrepancy, but some discrepancy from time to time. Because if you're translating from only two manuscripts, and it appears that it says eagles were flying in midair and called out in a loud voice, well, then you can't translate John Doe or angels or anything else if it says eagles. But if you're translating from the Western manuscript tradition that has the majority, they call the Western text, that has the majority of manuscripts behind them, and these manuscripts agree, and they say angel, because you're translating from the Greek, and that literally says angel, well, then you have a translation that says, as I watched or as I beheld, I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice. And this is what the angel was saying. That's the difference between the discrepancy, just to let you know. Now, you can study more about this. You know, there's a lot written about these things, but you can study more about this. Personally, I hold more firmly to the Western manuscripts. I check my translation, or if I'm going to teach something, or even in the book of Revelation, I will look at my King James Version first, and then I will also look at the NIV alongside it, and I'll compare the two to see if there's any discrepancy. Most of the time, there's not, but once in a while, we'll find something like we find here in Revelation 8:13. So that's another teaching in itself, another topic that we could talk about at some later date. So John says this in verse 13, as I watched, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels. This is the fourth trumpet. They will be seven. And the angel is saying here, you think it's bad with these four trumpets? Woe, woe, woe to the next three trumpet blasts that are about to be sounded by the other three angels. The warning is given that the next three trumpets would be more severe and devastating than those that have preceded them. The triple woe, woe, woe announced by the angel warn of coming judgment. What is all this about? What can we draw from a passage like this? Well, I've often heard people say things like, I can't believe it if there's a God in heaven, you know, so-and-so, my sister was raped, and they, instead of seeing my sister as the victim, they released that guy. He's out now doing whatever he wants to do. There was no justice in the thing whatsoever. So I don't believe in God, because if there was a God, man, surely there would be justice on this earth. You see, what you have to realize is that there's two opposing forces working in the earth today. There's God, of course, and then there's the demonic forces of the little G-O-D of this world, the little God of this world that's causing confusion and chaos and injustice. And God, there's going to be a day when God says, you know, it's all going to, everybody's going to stand, and it's, nobody's going to get away with anything. There will be justice. There will be justice. You know, when the World Trade Center was flown into and killed many people in America, you know, the churches were filled for about 3 weeks. For about 3 weeks, the churches were filled, and then after about 3 weeks, people went back to their normal lives and their own lifestyles and what they were doing before. If we look at this passage correctly, we can see that just like the World Trade Center was a devastating thing, and it was a terrible thing, but it did turn people to look to God. These judgments, if you look at them correctly, can be an act of mercy in which God is desiring that people would look to Him. You know, sometimes through prosperity and wealth and all the entertainment we have and all the things of this world, we think that life is, heaven is right here. And sometimes things happen that are devastating. And it causes us to think about God. It's a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing, and even God doesn't want it. To see these things come upon this earth in judgment. But it's really an act of mercy if you see it correctly, because God is wanting people to turn to Him, to get their attention and say, why don't you look to the God of heaven? He's your only help. He's your only hope. I say that to say this in closing. Are you ready if the Lord should come tonight? He's going to come and He's going to receive His own unto Himself. But He's going to also, at the end of time, bring judgment upon this world. Whose side are you on? I want you to think about this. Whose side are you on? For Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And you said every bit of your word is profitable to teach. It's profitable to rebuke, to correct, and to instruct. And so, Father, whatever we need out of this passage tonight, we pray that we might receive it, because it is your word, and you reveal this word so that it might be revealed to your churches and to your people. So whatever it is that you're wanting to say, and whatever you are wanting to do in this passage to deal with people in their hearts, or maybe to challenge them, am I ready for the return of Jesus? Am I ready for the return of the Lord? Am I really His? Which master am I really serving? Am I serving the world and money and other things, or am I serving the true and living God? Lord, we just ask, you take your word, and as you said in John 15:3, now you are clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Bring that cleansing within our soul, within our heart, through giving us the sharp, two-edged sword, the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.